come Emmanuel and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here
until the Son of God appear.
Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Thou didst spring from and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night
and lift the trials up to flight.
Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
O God,
desire of nations bound, O peoples in one heart and mind, bid envy, strife, and quarrels cease.
Fill the whole world with heaven's peace.
Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Please be seated. Our first reading is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, beginning with verse 6. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness, from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Our next reading is taken also from Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. And righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. And the wolf will lie down with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little boy will lead them. Also the cow and the bear will graze. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. And the nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is the word of the Lord.
Let all mortal flesh keep silence, and with fear and trembling stand, ponder nothing earthly.
Seated. Reading from Jeremiah 33, beginning with verse 15. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch of David to spring forth, and he shall execute justice and righteousness on the earth. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell in safety. And this is the name by which she will be called: the Lord, our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Our next reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep, and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Shepherds in fear.
Please be seated. Next reading is taken from Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord. Is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watched are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds watch and angels see. Haste to bring him long. Son of Mary, in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding, good Christians fear for sinners here, the silent word is pleading. Yes, this is Christ the King, who shepherds guard and angels see. Please be seated. Before I read this next portion from Luke's Gospel, I have to tell you a quick story. When I was growing up, I went to a little Episcopal school called Trinity School in Columbus. And we all had to try out, this was in the first grade, for the choir. And there were two of us who flunked the test. And we were not allowed to sing in the choir. One was Howell Hollis, who some of you know, and the other was me. And so Howell and I were given the task of being what they call the speaking choir. And the speaking choir had to memorize, this was the first portion of scripture I ever memorized, memorize a portion of scripture, and we got up and read this during our little Christmas production. And it was this passage. So I can't read this section of Luke without thinking about that experience. And it was rather humiliating, actually, in the first grade. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. She treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This is the word of the Lord.
Sad and lonely plains, they bend on
Please be seated. Reading from Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way. And the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. This is the word of the Lord. Seated. The next reading is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Be seated. Back in 1987, early December of 1987, the first intifada erupted in Israel. It was much milder than what we see happening today with stabbing attacks. It consisted mainly of rock throwing. I had two rocks thrown through my car windshield. They can kill you, by the way, but fortunately they didn't. And tourists all of a sudden canceled wholesale trips to Israel for Christmas. Christmas is a big season in Israel. We lived in a place in southwest Jerusalem called Gilo, which was about 7 kilometers from Bethlehem. In fact, you could easily see Bethlehem from Gilo. I used to go to Bethlehem every Saturday to buy bacon. There was a Christian Arab butcher in Bethlehem, and it was a beautiful walk. And back in those days, before the intifadas started, it was safe to do so. And so I would get out and walk to Bethlehem and enjoy the sights and just marvel at what I was looking at. And I became very familiar with the terrain and the geography of that area. It's full, as most of Israel is, with limestone caves. And so with all due respect to the writer of the lowly cattle shed, that ain't what happened. Jesus was born in a cave, which is where Arab shepherds today still keep their animals. The whole area is dotted with these limestone caves. The particular cave where Jesus was born in Bethlehem is the site of a church that has been identified as a place of Christian worship since the second century. It's one of the oldest churches in all of Christendom, and the authenticity of that site, I think, is beyond dispute. If you've been to it, you know, they've kind of gaudied it up, and they've laid marble down on what was bare ground, and they put this hideous silver star to mark the spot where Jesus was born. But it was somewhere in that cave, and if you actually go behind where the silver star is and you look, you can get a feeling for what that cave looked like. It would have been a very inhospitable place and not the place that any of you would choose to have a child. It was full of nasty animals. Jesus was born in this environment in complete obscurity. Now think about that for a moment. Here is God Himself coming into this world as one of us. You would think that when God becomes man that it would have been done with a lot more fanfare. But it was done very quietly. It was done in obscurity. It was done almost in humiliation. I think that's a principle with God. God does not like the flash. He does not go in for the shock and awe. Very often He comes very quietly, as He came to Elijah. Not in the rainstorm, not in the earthquake, not in the fire, but in that still, small voice. And that's what I'd like for us to think about this morning as we ponder the birth of Jesus, is the still, small voice of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit, is still speaking. He's still nudging. He's still leading. And He's still revealing to His people what He wants us to do. In our reading from the Gospels this morning, we read about the dream that Joseph had. Now, Joseph was a descendant of King David. He lived in the town of Nazareth, which is in the northern part of Israel. His occupation was either a carpenter or a stone cutter. And he had been engaged to marry Miriam, as her name is in Hebrew. Nazareth was a very small village, probably had less than 300 people. Everybody knew everybody. You know what that's like. How many of you grew up in small towns? Anybody? Yeah, a few of you did. You know what it's like. Everybody knows everybody's business. And so when Joseph became engaged, as was the custom in those days, to marry Mary, and all of a sudden Mary turns up pregnant, unlike today, that's bad news. That would have been humiliating for her, for him to break off that engagement. It would have ruined her reputation forever and would have meant that she would never have been married. Joseph was on the verge of doing that when he has this dream. Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. Now, that would have been a hard job. You just don't disappear from a village of 300 people and go into obscurity. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, and notice how he addresses Joseph, Joseph, son of David. Now, David had lived 1,000 years before Joseph. So why does he call him a son of David? Some of you know I'm fascinated by DNA. The Y chromosome, it is passed from father to son almost without change for thousands of years. You can trace your paternal lineage. So I did that the other day. I did it through one of the sites online. And interestingly enough, I mean, these people know nothing about my genealogy. The The DNA went back, and this is going back a long way, to a little village in Lincolnshire in England where the Sawyers came from. I find that amazing. And so when he calls Joseph the son of David, he's not kidding. David was the father through the Y chromosome, even though it had been 1,000 years, of Joseph. You see the connection. Now, why is that important? It's important for one reason. Because what did God promise David? He said, "You shall never fail to have a man upon the throne of Israel." Now, we know what happened after the death of Solomon. The kingdom splits. But through the prophetic word, and we've been reading in one of our Bible studies about, in 2 Peter, about the necessity of studying the prophetic word as a lamp shining in a dark place, and how it's all the more important to study the prophecies as we approach the coming of the Lord. That prophetic word was vindicated, was confirmed, and was fulfilled through the birth of Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus fulfilled the promise that God had made to King David. The child who is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She, Mary, will bear a son, and his name will be Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And that name, Yeshua, in Hebrew, means the Lord saves, or the Lord is salvation. And then he quotes from Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name," and the way it's pronounced in Hebrew is Immanuel, which means God with us. That is what the incarnation is all about. It's about God coming and identifying with his people, leaving the glory of heaven and coming to be born in a nasty limestone cave full of animals, in obscurity, to live out most of his life in this little village in the Galilee, Nazareth, in obscurity, appearing on the scene for a brief 3 years and fulfilling in that time something which has changed the world forever. That is what we celebrate at Christmas. The incarnation is about God leaving glory in order to make himself vulnerable. And that vulnerability ultimately leads him to the cross. As we ponder what it cost God, it cost him everything. And he did that because he loves us, for no other reason. He didn't have to. He willingly did that. I know some of you saw the article that was in the Wall Street Journal earlier this week about Eric Metaxas. How many of you saw that? I know Laura saw it and a few others saw it. Eric Metaxas produced the movie Amazing Grace, which is about the life of William Wilberforce, who ended the slave trade in the British Empire. He also wrote in 2011 a book about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, most of you probably know, was a German pastor who was in 1939 studying at the Union Seminary in New York City. Hitler had come to power in 1933. But by 1939, with Hitler's invasion of Poland and the obvious anti-Jewish policies that the Nazis were putting in place, beginning with an event called Kristallnacht, when synagogues were burned and destroyed, Jewish businesses were destroyed, Jews were made to wear the yellow armband. Bonhoeffer, who came from a very prominent German family, decided that he would go back willingly. He made that decision to willingly go back to Germany when he could have stayed here and to stand up to what the Nazis were doing. It cost him his life. He was executed by the Nazis. But it is a picture, the life of Bonhoeffer is a picture of what Jesus has done for us. I want to read you just a portion from this article that was in the Wall Street Journal. It says, Mr. Metaxas in our interview recalls how in 1939 Bonhoeffer was sitting safely in New York at Union Theological Seminary. He elected to return to Germany, what Mr. Metaxas calls the great decision. What would animate someone to leave comfort and security for the depraved Nazi Germany, where he would surely be arrested for supporting the Jews? One day, Mr. Metaxas says, his reading was, "He who believes does not flee." And he really felt God was speaking to him, that if he had faith, he would not worry about his life, but would return to his family and to his people and face whatever he must face. In short, sheer obedience. The incarnation is about that. And the whole life of Jesus is about that sheer obedience. Not just being born, but living out that life without sin, of choosing at every turn to do the will of the Father, of saying in the garden when he had the opportunity to flee from the cross, "Lord, not my will, but yours be done." It's a startling story, one that is particularly resonant during these pre-Christmas days of Advent, as Christians ponder how someone who had no reason to subject himself to suffering had turned to a dark place. Bonhoeffer would later meditate on Advent from a Nazi prison cell. As one leafs through a collection of his sermons and letters, it becomes apparent how studying Bonhoeffer might have heightened Mr. Metaxas' capacity for awe. "No priest," Bonhoeffer wrote, "no theologian stood in the manger of Bethlehem. And yet all Christian theology had its origin in the wonder of all wonders that God became man." This Christmas, I invite you to join me in thinking about the wonder of this and ask the Lord to give us just a glimpse of what this incarnation means. You know, some hymns are better than others, and one of my favorites is Philip Brooks' "O Little Town of Bethlehem," and particularly this part, because I think it fits in with everything about the incarnation, everything about the way God works in that still, small voice. How silently, the wondrous gift is given. "So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in." Let us pray. Lord, we pray that you would give us ears to hear that still small voice. Not in all the clamor and the noise of the world around us, which demands our attention, but in the quietness of your spirit, speaking to us as you spoke to Bonhoeffer, that we would have ears to hear and that we would have wills to obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, our pattern of worship is a little bit different this Sunday, but what we will do now, we can't have a service at Christ Church without having an exchange of the peace. So would you please stand and greet one another in the name of Jesus. May the peace of the Lord be always with you.
When blossoms flowered amid the snows above a winter night, was born the child, the Christmas rose, the King of love and light. The angels sang, the shepherds sang, the
Thank you. peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah.